getting stirred up. Well, before I get, let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just, Lord, help me to speak what's on your heart today, Lord. Help us to get the revelation that we are called to go out to the highways and to the byways to proclaim the good news, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out leopards, to raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the lepers. We can cast out the spirit of leprosy too. Yeah. So yes, I was technically right. So Lord, help us to walk in the dunamis power of the holiest spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, the dunamis power. And so the reason that I wanted to start this, Glenn started last week, and I think it's really good because we're coming up here in June. Let me get the right date because I always mess it up. But it's June. No, Passover. I'm sorry, Pentecost. Well, I had it on my calendar and it's gone and I can't think of the exact date, but I know it's in June. And we're coming up here to Pentecost and the time of when we remember the time of the Holy Spirit coming down and bringing the dunamis power so we can walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. And so last week, Glenn started talking about what went on the 50 days between the resurrection of Jesus and when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And so we were in a meeting with another pastor, a father here in the city, and he was like, "Hey, do you know what month it is?" And we were kind of telling him, "Yeah, we're having miracle month and blah, blah, blah." And so he's like, "Well, actually, this last month was Nisan. In the Jewish calendar, it's Nisan. It's the first month of the Jewish calendar according to the Torah. And this coincides with March and April on our civil calendar. Now, the name of the current Hebrew month, Nisan, comes from the Hebrew word nis, meaning miracles. Because all the miracles that God, Jehovah, did to the Jewish people to redeem them from slavery in Egypt. So you have your first month, which would coincide with April of last month, but now we're in May. So this month, which I thought was really good, did some research. The second month on the Jewish calendar, counting from Nisan, is, let me make sure I say it right, E-R, even though it's spelled L-Y-A-R, it's pronounced E-R. And this is where this comes from. It's shortly after the Exodus, the thirsty Israelites were reaching the well of bitter waters, and Moses cast the tree into the water, and miraculously, the waters that were bitter became sweet. And then God then promised that if Israel would follow his ways, the diseases I have placed on Egypt, I will not place upon you, for I am God, your healer. And what that comes out from is that the acronym of the last part of the month spells out the name of the month, E-R, thus indicating that this month, May, is a advantageous month or advantageous time for healing. So we have miracle month, miracle April, and then we have healing May. And so I was just so excited that as Glenn started last week in miracle April, now we can continue to go and to build a foundation on miracles because we are supposed to walk in miracles. And so just a few little things that I kind of notice, and we're going to read some scripture a little bit today. But some things that I noticed. I was doing some research, and we all know that over the past couple years, the church, you can say, has been, in attendance-wise, has been dying. Millennials are leaving the church in astronomical numbers, and so it's just been it's been a weird time, and I know people have been, why is everybody leaving and blah, blah, blah. And so did some research, went through the Barna Foundation and just different just different little research thing. And these are some of the reasons why people are leaving the church. One reason is that they decided they didn't like the institutional church. And I believe that a lot of the reasons, you can say me. That's why we meet in our house at the moment. But I've gotten tired of the institutional church, the institutionalized church where we just do things to do things. And I don't want to get on my soapbox on that one. I think we all can has a lot to say. Another reason is that they were hurt at church. You know, there's a kind of anointing, I guess you can say, that me and Tiff like to walk in and flow in is healing for the, you know, healing the wounded bride. There's a lot of bride that is wounded. They've been to church and you know, we go to church and it's kind of funny. I don't know why we think this. I mean, I think this, you know, we think that we hold Christ followers, Christians to a higher level. So when they do us dirty, we're like surprised and we're really hurt. Because we have this mentality, which it should be that they know better, or they would have took better care, or whatnot. But you know what? That's humanity. And so I tell folks all the time who've been hurt by the church, like, "Oh, well, this did happen at church." I'm like, "That's not Jesus. That's humanity. Humanity messes it up. But the Church of Jesus, the body," I said, "that's just humanity. Jesus doesn't do that." Another reason why they're leaving is that they say they couldn't find a church to meet their needs. We're getting to a generations where we have a system of society where you get up, you know, I feel like a hamburger today. You can go to McDonald's, you can go to In-N-Out Burger, you can go to Burger King, you can go to all these different places to satisfy your need. And so we get into a position where we go to a church and, well, they don't have a kids program, so you go somewhere else. Well, they don't have worship that I don't like, so you go somewhere else. Well, they don't have a coffee shop. And so we have gotten to a way where we look at church like we look at commercialized, where they don't meet my needs, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And we church hop. So people have been leaving for that. They felt like their needs, they had left because they felt like the church didn't meet their needs. We all have needs, and sometimes the church doesn't meet needs. We've been there. Another reason people left is they never felt connected in a church. And I believe that that is something that people are looking for, especially post-COVID, is that we are looking for connection. We've gone so long without the intimate touch, because God created us to have touch and intimacy and to be loved and physical touch. That's how God created us. But with COVID, stay 6 feet and blah, 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 and this and mask up. And, you know, people are dying for connection. So you get to a big church, and there's nothing wrong with the big churches, but sometimes you can get lost in the crowd. I know I've gone to big churches before, and I like it because I'm trying to get lost in the crowd. I don't want to be noticed. And so you go in, you get in and come out, and no one knows what's going on. But there's a really good YouTube message with Mark Driscoll from Mars Hill and Francis Chan right after he left, talking about why Francis Chan left and why he's going to why he feels like the smaller church is where the church should be heading now, instead of the big, what we would call box churches, and really good stuff. But it really comes down to connection. And the last few couple is that the church feels unfriendly to those who doubt. They feel unfriendly to those who doubt. We've all been there. Why has this happened? Why is that? And doubt is, we're supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord, but sometimes doubt slips in, and you know, sometimes as believers, instead of just, well, let's pray together. How can we help? It's, well, you just need to have more faith. I've had that. I've had people tell me that, you know, I'm going through a hard time or whatnot, and I really need help. And they're like, well, you just need to have more faith. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thank you for your help. Young Christian church, young believers, they feel like the church, and this, we were just talking about this as a group. Young Christian churches' experiences related to sexuality are often simplistic and judgmental. The church, we've become prude in the sense of talking about sex. We became prudes, and instead of teaching biblical principles of sex, we say this and that, and sometimes it's old teachings, old wineskin, and we try to pass on this new generation, and you're giving bad old wineskin to this new generation in this hyper sex society. This is such a hyper-sex society that you can't give me no old wine. You know, you can't give me an old wineskin. You better keep up with the times because the world system isn't keeping up with the times. But the last one, and this is where we're going to talk about today, is I believe that another reason a lot, and this is one that I've learned a lot and heard people, is a lack of power. You come to church either spiritually broken, physically broken, whatever it be, mentally broken. You come and you get a really good prosperity message, or you get a uplifting message, and then you still go out the way you came in. And I don't believe that's how God wants us to be. And so I'm believing that it's not, we're coming to a place in time as we enter into the end times, that it's not time for the one man show or the one woman show, but it's all of us to start walking in dunamis power. Yes. Dunamis. You see, beloved, one miracle can change a community. All it takes is one miracle. You know, when we're in our community in Cassiano, when somebody gets healed, people take notice. Because people are like, well, that was this or that was that. Even in when Jesus walked on the earth in Israel, when people got healed, people took notice. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed from her infirmity, people took notice. And so I believe that all it takes is one miracle to change a community. You see, the love of God, one of the greatest mandates of Jesus was to release the love of God through signs, wonders, and miracles. Everywhere that Jesus went, he wasn't just talking and preaching and teaching, but he was not just talking, but preaching and teaching. But there was never a separation between preaching, teaching, and the power of God. I never saw Jesus come and say something, okay, guys, we'll see you later. And the cripple are still like, wait a minute, you know? Jesus was like, okay, let's preach, let's feed, and then let's exercise the power of God. What? Preach, feed. I was just saying it. No one. But we can feed too. Feed's not wrong all the time. One of the greatest keys to moving in the power of God is compassion and love. I believe that we must be a people that live with compassion and with love. Matthew 9:35-38 says this. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I see so many times believers and folks that, you know, that have gift anointing, but they go out and right here, they see the crowds, but there's a lack of compassion. I believe we have to have an act of compassion. There's times that you can be at a restaurant and you see someone that's hurt, you have compassion. We should be doing this all the time, because I guarantee you the enemy, they do this all the time. They're keeping their stuff. Why is it us? We're the only ones that are just kind of willy-nilly when it comes to the kingdom of God. The Satan's work, man, they're hardcore. You know, they're usually a month ahead of us, and this is another teaching, but they're usually a month ahead of us, you know, coming to the new year, and they're praying for their demonic powers to do stuff and this is coming from a John Ramirez teaching, but you know, we're worried about Christmas and other stuff, and the devil and his people, they're okay, we got to get down to business, and we're yay Christmas and kiss under the mistletoe. Why is it we're always like, I feel like sometimes the body of Christ, we're always more reacting late to the game or reacting to the attack instead of being on the offensive. If we would walk in compassion, we would be on the offensive. We must get a hold of the message of Jesus in these last days. We have to have compassion in these last days. That's why people are leaving the church, because they are looking for something. They are looking for power. They're looking for answers. They can care less. And that's something that the Lord's been really placing on my heart, just a burden on my heart, is, yeah, I know a lot of Bible knowledge. I know a lot of believers that know a lot of Bible knowledge. They can tell you where the scripture's at, what this said, who's the wife of this person, and all their 12, you know, we can name all 66 books of the Bible. But we have a lot of head knowledge, but we're not walking in compassion, because the world is looking, look, I don't really care how many books in the Bible. It's, can I get free from this demonic oppression? Can I get my leg healed? Can you help me pray for and restore my marriage? Don't tell me, well, David did this and this. Yeah, those are great, but we have to use the teaching and operate with teaching and in the power of God. It's the power of God that will give us, and I like this quote, it's the power of God that will give us a voice when it comes to reaching the lost. I'm not the greatest, most articulate, huh? Me? It's good. It's the power of God that will give us a voice when it comes to reaching the lost. I like what Jeremy Nelson says. Let your anointing speak for you. I like that. So here we go. So this is kind of a foundational of why we should, how we should, where it's said, why we should be doing this, because it's not just me. And I'm really excited, and I'm going to say this because it was such a profound statement by Pastor Runa this week, is that, you know, each one of us, we are limited in our gift sets in a sense, and we are. I totally agree with him. So I'm very heavy in the power gifts, and I have no problem in the power gifts. Now, my prophetic gifting, I can prophesy every now and then, and then I can get into it, but I'm not as good as Tiffany or, say, as Grace. That's their lane. My lane is the power gifts. I know my lane. I can operate in all the gift sets, and it's not a problem, but there's a limitation to certain things. And so what Pastor Rune was talking about is we must be a people where we lay off the pride and we take the body as one whole, because the eye can't say, well, I don't need the hand. Well, then you can't grab stuff. The hand can't say, well, I don't need the feet. Well, you're not going anywhere. The feet can't say, well, I don't need the eyes. How can you see what's going on? And so when we, and I think this is a key that's going to start happening in, and you, I think he was even prophesying this, not even knowing it. This is going to be a key to worship in the park. And just as we go do miracles, is that we do it as a team. Power gifts over here. Then you got the prophetic going over here. And it's not, they said it is the old wineskin is this. The time of the one man or one woman show is gone. That's old. We can't do that no more. It is the time for the body to come together and say, all right, let's get this going. And so we must lay down our pride and say, you know, if you stay in your lane, and if you step out of your lane, you don't have the greatest, throw the pride down, say, hey, what do you think? I've gotten better at that, where I look at my wife, you know, I'm looking around, I'm like, all right, let's go pray. Me, I like to operate in the breaker anointing sometimes, and just go for it. I don't care what you got, we're just praying, I'm just praying for people, and that's great, and God operates in that, but sometimes remember, Jesus operated in Isaiah 11, the spirit of counsel and might. There's a more strategic, there's a strategic intimacy there, where he'd go to the mountaintop, where he'd go get away, spend time with his father. He receives the counsel. And then when he was in doing his ministry, he operated in the might of God. So there's times I'm at worship and say, okay, stop trying to blow everything up. I'll look at Tiffany. You got something? What do you think? That's how the body operates. Grace comes up. Hey, Josh, I think you need to pray for that person, or we need to get so-and-so to pray for them. All right, let's go for it. And then we, instead of telling the Holy Spirit what to do, Tiffany made this really quite clear when we were talking with Pastor Rune and Berta. I thought it was really well. Not being, not leading the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, but being a conductor of what the Holy Spirit is doing. As waves come in, okay, the Holy Spirit is doing this. You see, we are stepping out of our lane and allowing the Holy Spirit to move, and all we're doing is conducting. Okay, the Holy Spirit's doing this. Now we conduct the body. Okay, all right, body, let's move this way. The Holy Spirit's moving. Okay, Holy Spirit's moving again. And we are conducting as all the instruments start to play, and it becomes beautiful music to the Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm getting excited. Man, I'm ready for worship in the park now. Like, So this is the basis. This is the foundation of miracles, the healing ministry of Jesus in the end times. And there's so many scriptures, I can't even say them all, but I'll say a few. It is God's nature to heal as revealed through Jesus. And you can go all throughout the Gospels, Matthew 4, 23 through 24, I mean, Matthew 8, 16, so many scriptures you can go through. But this is what it says in Matthew 4, 23 through 24. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit also as I read. Jesus went about healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. They brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, and paralyzed, and he healed them. All, not some, all. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Matthew 9, 35 says, Jesus went about all the cities, healing every sickness and every disease. Matthew 12, 15, it says, and the great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Not some of them, not, you know, sorry, brother, I'm a little tired today, or sorry, we can't, you know, sorry, the anointing is gone. He healed all of them. Luke 6, 19 says, the multitude sought him. For power went out from him and he healed them all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 6, verse 6 through 10. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse, and we're going to read verses 6 through 10. And this is the man with the withered hand. It says, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue, and he was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose, and he stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at all of them, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. So again, we have Jesus even breaking the rules. Sorry, we don't do nothing on the Sabbath. Jesus is like, I don't really care about your rules. Stretch out your hand, pick up your mat, walk, be healed, all that. Go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. This is Jesus here. And this is a great story because you can go so many different ways. You can talk about, this is a great one to talk about faith. Whose faith got healed here? Was it the faith of the friends that got that man faith, got that man healed? Was it the faith of Jesus? Was it the faith of the guy who was paraplegic? Such a great teaching for another time because it's really fun to go into. This is what it says. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there were no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paraplegic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they lowered him, when they had made an opening, they let down the bed which the paraplegic laid on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paraplegic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paraplegic, your sins are forgotten, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paraplegic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Again, you have Jesus busting up the scene. You know, he's having this great home church. Jesus had home church too. Hallelujah. So we're doing right. Jesus had home church and they ripped up the roof and they lowered, four guys lowered their buddy in. And Jesus looks at it, and I love it. He says, because of y'all's faith, his sins are forgiven. It was the faith of the friends. They're like, man, I heard about this Jesus. Have you ever done that? I mean, I think we've all been there, but have you ever been to a service or heard something? You're like, oh man, Todd Bentley's coming to town. You got to go. So-and-so is coming to town. Or this is, you got to go. You got to go here. Anyways, Jesus. Yes, Josh Gabe, Glenn's coming. Get a prophetic word from Grace and Tiffany. Yes, they're coming. Got to come. But again, you have Jesus healing the sick. Yes. Jesus purchased our healing on the cross. One reason he came, the Bible says, and the Bible talks about in Matthew 8, 16 through 17, they brought to him many, he healed who were all sick, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken in Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The Bible says that one of the reasons that Jesus came was to destroy the works of Satan. Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. 1 John 3:8. For this was the purpose of the Son of God, was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. We are called. We are in this new covenant. That's why we say be emulators of Christ. So if Christ did it, why aren't we doing it? That's why he sent. He said, hey, guys, it's better that I go, because if I go, I could send the comforter and he will give you power. So he's like, look, guys, you want me to go because it's advantageous for me to leave, because when I leave, then the Holy Spirit comes and then you guys can go out and take over the world. But not only is it in the New Testament, well, actually the New Testament is fulfillment of the Old Testament. There were healing, God had healing promises all throughout the Old Testament. So we're building a foundation, healing, healing, healing. We're called to heal the sick, not only heal the sick, but cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers. God made a covenant of healing soon after he delivered Israel from Egypt. In Exodus 15, 25 through 26, it says, he made a statute and an ordinance for them. He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord and keep my statutes, I will put none of the disease which I have brought onto the Egyptians, for I am God who heals you. In Exodus 23, 25, so shall you shall serve your God, and I will take sickness away from you, from the midst of you. David exhorted us not to forget any of the benefits such as healings. In Psalms 103, 2 through 3, it says this. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For whoever forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Isaiah even prophesied that there would be great healing in the generation in which the Lord returns. This is what Isaiah had to say in chapter 35. It says, behold, your God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Yes. Hallelujah. So again, the New Testament covenant is fulfillment of Old Testament promises. The power to heal is promised in the New Testament. Beloved, every believer can operate now in the healing anointing in the name of Jesus. Oh man, I'm almost done. I thought this was going to be long. We are all called to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. Matthew 10, 7 and 8, it says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And I'm going to stop right there real quickly, because this is something I believe that we must. This is something that as believers, we must take to heart. How can I not be such a dirt bag? Well, we've all seen that late night, send $20 in the Lord, I'll send you this prayer cloth and you'll be healed. I've always had a problem with pay to get you to receive a healing. it clearly states, freely you have received, freely give. I truly believe when you freely give, it's God who takes care of your needs. So for us as, just even us as a ministry, we barely charge anything when we do our ministry stuff because it's like, why? I've gotten it freely. It's, what is it off my back to go lay hands on you and, you know, you get out of your sick bed? It costs me nothing. But so many times, well, brother, I got a car payment and I got this or that. Well, go write a book or something or go get, I don't know, but don't do that. So this is just my little soapbox. I really, truly believe that as believers, we must freely give. We freely receive, freely give. In doing that, it opens up the windows of heaven of blessing to where God's like, you know what? You're trusting me. You're freely giving. So guess what? I'm going to take care of you. I don't know how it works. That's just the way God does. It's happened for us as a ministry. There's times that I start to panic. Oh, man, we're not going to make payroll this month or we're not going to do this. And Tiff's always like, it will be okay. And I'm like, well, you're not. You don't get the mortgage bill. Dang it. You know, I got this. I got people, you know. And Tiff's always like, it will come. And it always comes. And then I have to go back to the Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, and this is how we are. I really feel like, you know, someone asked us to come do a training seminar and I get, you got to make money and I get, we got to do this. And we said, no, we don't charge anything. We want to come and bless you. We did something else. What would you do earlier? And we said, we just want to bless. I don't know. We did something that we do night out, the worship in the park. Freely we have received, freely we give. That's, I'll just say that's it. We're investing into the kingdom on that one. We're investing into the kingdom and we may not see a return. Well, we will. We may not see it here on earth, but we will see it in heaven. And I'm okay with that because I can only keep a car for so long. I'm only going to be here for the most 120 years. That's what I'm praying for. It's scriptural. 120. That's what I'm going for. Yes. 120 years. That's my wife. And then at 120 at midnight. Okay, Lord. I'm 120 now. It's time to check out. No, I don't know how that's going to work, but I know that as you freely receive, you freely give, and you build up, store up treasures in heaven. All right, going back to healing again, Luke 10, 9 through 19, and I'll paraphrase a lot of this. It says the 70 return, Luke 10, 9 through 19, it's the 70 going out. The 70 turned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Mark chapter 17 through 18. I love this. It says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Where were we when we were some, there's a pastor that was talking about this and it said, in my name, you will cast out demons. And we all know Jesus doesn't idly say words. There's always a meaning. He always has a, and the first thing it is, it's cast out demons. Where were we? Do you remember? We were somewhere and was that what it was? Yeah, that's what it was. We were talking about that. That was the first thing Jesus says in Mark 16. Cast out demons. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We never leave room. We don't do it, or that's for the pastor, or for that so-and-so, or for that's for the, you know, I heard it this way, is that the body of Christ or the church, we're really good at, what is it when you, okay, so you have, delegate, yeah, like delegate, but when you have a business, but you send your business like to India or somewhere, it's a, offshore, offload, whatever, something like that. But we delegate, it's a fancy word for it. I just totally cannot think of it, but we're really good at the church. So you go to a church, I have demons. Oh, well, we don't personally do it, but there's another ministry that we know and you can go there. Why is that? Why is that? We're the church. We hand it off to somebody else. The church is good at that. Hey, I need healing. Oh, we go to this. I need mental healing. Oh, you need Sozo. Well, we don't do Sozo, but we can refer you to somebody. We are really good at referrals. I'm starting to think that the church is a bunch of doctors. And I only say that because I've been in doctors with my wife enough. And you always get the doctors, oh man, we don't do that. Here, we'll refer you to this specialist, or we'll refer you to this. Even though they can do it, it's because they don't want to do it. Why is it the church? Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Most of the times you cast out a demon, that demon might've been sickness or something else. You don't even have to go through all that other junk. Outsource. Thank you. There we go. Outsource. Yes. Hallelujah. Outsourcing. The church is great at outsourcing. We don't do we don't do deliverance ministry. We'll refer you to somebody else. We must stop referring. We are the body. We are the ecclesia. We are empowered with dunamis power. And Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. I believe, you believe. So that must mean Jesus isn't a liar. So if he said that, then I can cast out demons, that I can lay hands on the sick, that and they will recover. I can, you know, raise the dead. Haven't done that yet. And I'm hoping to one of these days. Yes. Not that I want somebody to die, like just so I can practice on. Hey, I hope somebody dies today so we can practice. No, just if the opportune ever, you know, happens. I met this awesome guy in Mexico, and he was, and this is what I love it. You know, again, going back to the one man show, the one woman show is old skin, is that this guy, he was just, he's a short little Mexican guy. I met him in Cuernavaca. I forgot his name. I think his name is George. His name is George. And Jorge. And he was driving in a car, and he was nobody special. He wasn't like, when I mean nobody special, wasn't like the pastor or anything like that. He was just a church member who believed Jesus. And he was driving down the road, and he sees this car accident. And when he comes up to the car accident, I guess it already happened, and the cops were already like, the body was dead. They were like laying the tarp over him. And the Lord tells this guy, go pray for them, raise them from the dead. And George is like, no, padre. You know, he's telling us in Spanish. It's really funny. But he was a little intimidated at first. It's kind of like, I don't know. But the Lord's like, no, get out and go pray for him. So the guy's like, okay. And he just by faith, you know, he walks over. And, you know, the police are all looking at him. They're like, what are you doing over here? And he's like, can I just, the Lord, you know, Espiritu Santo told me to pray. And stuff. So he prays for this person. This person comes back to life right there. Everybody's like, yo, what's going on? And so he's telling us this story. And I'm like, that's cool, man. Like, so again, it's this most unassuming person. God used him in power and might. John 14, 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. James 5, 14 and 15, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up and also forgive him of their sins. So, prayer. Are you seeing there is a foundation of miracles? I got to talk about this. And then next week we start talking about how to do and how the different ways God heals and stuff like that. So believers heal the sick. Believers heal the sick in the early church. Acts 2:43, Acts 4:33, Acts 5:12-16, Acts 8:18, Acts 9:38, Acts 19:11-12, all throughout Acts. They're just healing people like crazy. This is the first century church. Now, granted, a lot of them, you had the apostles that were there and they walked with Jesus, but you had other people who didn't walk with Jesus. Paul didn't walk with Jesus, but he had a great revelation with him. But he was like walking in power. You had Stephen who walked in power. You had all these different people walking in power. This is what it says in Acts chapter 5, 12 through 16. It says, Through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, so that they brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on the beds and couches, and that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, the multitudes gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing the sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Acts chapter 8, 5 through 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And then lastly, Acts 19, 11 through 20, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from the body to the sick, and the disease left them and evil spirits went out of them. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Lord, glory to God. Beloved, this is where we're supposed, these are the foundations of miracles. God promised in the old, it was fulfilled in the new. We have the power to go forth and do. But for whatever reason, because of fear, because of busyness, whatever, we all have excuses. We all have excuses. They're like armpits and they all stink. And we don't do it. But Jesus is saying in these last days, you must do it. You must walk in power, because there's a hurting world out there that need Jesus. There's a hurting world. They're looking for other things because they can't find it. They're looking for, you know, you have this younger generation that are looking. They have hurts. They have mental problems. They have hurts. They have physical ailments. They have this and this. And they're looking. They're going to cupping. I was at the gym the other day, and this lady did the cupping where you get the little cups and you put them on your to stimulate blood flow and whatever. You know, you do this, you do Eastern medicine, you have people getting blessed by shamans, and they're looking for crystals, and they're looking for this, they're looking for yoga, they're looking for all these things, when the answer is literally right here.
That's right.
It's all a counterfeit. They're looking because they know, hey, we know there's a spiritual realm. Something's happening, but we don't know the true God because, well, it's up to us. It's up to us to go walk in power and in might and say, hey, brother, what's, and it doesn't, you don't have to be the most eloquent speaker. You just have to be bold and say, okay, God, like Isaiah, or was it Jeremiah, was I Jim? Isaiah? Yeah. Isaiah, who am I? Here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah, yeah, here I am, Lord, send me. You just got to be like that. Here I am. And wherever you go, I'm not saying that you have to be that crazy person walking down the street. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood on you, blah, blah, blah. You're just going through, you know, hitting everybody. I mean, you can. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but probably 9 times out of 10, you'll get more people like, no, no, crazy person. But if we walk in counsel and might, Jesus will already give you the list of who you're supposed to hit. And wherever you go, you're like, hey, Jesus, tell me about that person. Okay, there's the blue shirt. And you go and you pray. Oh, there's the red shirt person. Oh, there's the cripple that I saw. Oh, can I pray for? And you're more strategic in praying. So these are the foundations of miracles. When we're at church, and it doesn't have to be at church. Again, you know, I love church. I love coming as the body in the ecclesia and coming to the temple and worshiping. But it doesn't have to be in here. Even though it says in James, if one is sick, bring them to the elders. The elders are usually at church, but a lot of times elders need to get out. All I'm saying is this. The foundations and miracles of us are going out. We need to go out and walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. It doesn't matter if you're old, if you're young, you just got to do it. We don't get to retire until you go on to see Jesus. That's when you get to retire. You'd be like Paul, go out in glory, or Billy Graham, you know, you're going to in your old age until you're gone. Who's the other guy? Oral Roberts, he went out until he's gone. Bob Jones, that's how we should be. And walk in miracles. So that's my prayer. So as we go into this month of miracles and healing, my prayer is that we just have opportune times. You know, I'm not saying that you have to wake up every morning and you know, all right, see you guys later, and you walk out, you're just looking for somebody. But in your prayer time, Lord, divine appointments. Give me that divine appointment, Lord. I can talk about this all day because I love miracles. And when you do it after a while, you start getting excited. But I will give a warning is that as you do this, always give glory to God. We never want to get puffed up and be like, look at me. I did that. I healed all these people and stuff. And so a lot of times when I pray for people, when I'm done, especially in other countries, you know, I ask them, who healed you? And I'm like, you did? I'm like, no, 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 no. Who healed you? Jesus, yeah, Jesus healed you. Because you want Jesus, because that signs and a wonder, the signs are to point to who? To Jesus. They should always point to Jesus, not to you. So next week we'll talk about, I guess, different ways God heals and things that we've seen. And just walking miracles. That's how we should be doing. Not just healings, but deliverance. I really believe that we can walk in deliverance, and you don't have to be, have this crazy prayer. It can just be a quick prayer, or because I believe God takes our little bit of faith and he balloons it and he multiplies it. And there's more power in our little, just our yes. Because I remember the first time we were in, and I've probably said this story many times, but it's still funny because it's still, to me, it's one of those powerful days. We were in a prison in Mexico, and I'm praying for this guy, and the warden kind of comes up and he's like, he has schizophrenic. And I was like, yeah, Tiff's like watching it live. This guy's like, rah! I'm like, holy smokes. Like, I've never prayed for a schizophrenic person. That's a legion. Okay, great. They're going to have different personalities. And so I look over at Kelvin. I'm like, hey, yeah, schizophrenic, you going to help me? And then, you know, good old Kelvin, you're good. And then walks off. And I'm like, so I'm just like, all right, Lord, I don't even know how to go off this. And I know how to do deliverance and stuff, but, you know, those are for when you sit down and you're having, okay, somebody comes to your house or you go somewhere and then you have your sit down, you do your little interview. Okay, is there any open doors? Is there this? And you go through your little worksheet. This, you're just kind of like in the midst of the thing. And I'm just like, all right, well, he says schizophrenic. So I'm like, schizophrenic, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And this guy's like, argh! And it starts like spitting a little bit. And I'm like, ew, I remember last time I got coughed on, I got sick the next day. So I'm like moved to the side. I'm like praying over him. And he finally spits and he gets up. His countenance totally changed. And I remember when he hugged me, it wasn't like, hey, brother, good, you know, hey, brother, how you doing? It was this hug of like, thank you. Like I could imagine, and this is the Holy Spirit made me tell as I tell the story more. I feel like it was the same hug that the demoniac of the Gadarene gave to Jesus. That's how I imagine it. That's really I'm going to say that from now on. The guy hugged me like the demoniac of the Gadarene when Jesus healed him, because it was a different hug. That's a hug of thank you for setting me free. And I remember that was the coolest time. And so we must walk in power and might. And it comes from intimacy. Get up in your morning, read your word. And you're, all right, Lord, what do you have for me? And you're reading your word. Spend time in your word. Spend time worshiping. Find you some good music, some good soaking music. And just sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Just pop in some Rick Pino and just take a nap. Just fall. I usually fall asleep a lot. When I'm soaking, just because the presence is so good, you're just like, this is nice. And yeah, I remember we were doing a soaking session with our staff and everyone was just soaking. All you hear is, and we look up and there's one girl, Ashley, we're like, Ashley fell asleep, you know, kind of deal. But anyways, I'm really excited for this month because I really want to see us as believers. Really what I felt like the Lord is commissioning me and Tiffany is to do more equipping and then helping, because we do that as it is anyways. This is why we have the church. It's so that we can equip. If you go through in scripture in the New Testament, it talks about the fivefold ministries, that these were to equip the saints to do the work of the gospel. Yes, the apostle, the evangelist, we all do that, but it's to equip the saints. Who are the saints? Everybody else. Those are the saints. We're supposed to equip them so they can go out. But as the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, we like just to bless everybody and keep how we do stuff to our chest and not equip anybody. And that's totally wrong. God's like, equip them so they can go out and do. Amen. Because that's how we're going to take over. That's how we're going to see revival. That's how we're going to change a nation. So let's pray before I keep talking. See, hit my gospel button. Excuse me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise your name. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us the power, that gives us the boldness, that comforts us, that gives us the wherewithal and the anointing and the insights on to pray, Lord. And we thank you for that Holy Spirit. Now I ask for those who are here and those who are watching, Lord, that we would walk out in our anointing, Father, that we would walk in power, Lord, and not even anointing. I don't know why I keep saying that. Lord, let us walk in authority. Lord, let us walk in the authority of Jesus as we walk, Lord. I ask that our authority would be so strong that as we walk, demons cry out, Lord, that as we walk, people get sick. Father, we want to see revival. Help us to walk out Mark 12:30 to be lavish lovers of you. Nothing else fascinates us but you. But then the second part is let us to love our neighbors. Let us love our neighbors. And so, Lord, bless everyone that's here. Bless everyone that's watching. In the name of Jesus, amen.